So it's the big part of your computer.
Yeah, the big bit.
The big bit.
That would be my technical... big important bit. Is my
I don't want to blind you with science, listeners, but it's the big bit in your computer.
Hello and welcome to Aprender Inglés con Resi Craig, episode 95. Welcome to our award-winning podcast. Craig and I have over 40 years of teaching experience between us, and we are here to help you improve your English and take it to the next level. With us, you can grow your grammar, vocalize your vocabulary, and perfect your pronunciation. Craig, how are things?
Things are pretty good, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Very well indeed.
What are we speaking about in this episode, Reza?
In this episode, we've got technology vocabulary.
Ooh, my favorite. Good, yeah. I'm excited.
Craig, would you call yourself a bit of a tech geek, a nerd, a geek?
I would call myself a wannabe geek, which means I would love to be more knowledgeable, more aware of what's happening and better with technology. But I love technology and anything connected to technology. The problem is I'm not very good at it.
Well, I think Craig's being a bit modest there. The technical side of podcasting is Craig's domain. I don't know much about the mics, the recording systems and all that compared to Craig. Craig is a real pro. He's a professional, let me tell you. He really knows what he's doing.
Thank you very much. I'll pay you afterwards. Before we speak about technology, we have some feedback from Sergio. Let me read it for you. Sergio says, "Hi, my name is Sergio and I'm from Spain. I work in a very important hotel in Madrid, and we speak very often with our company mates." Instead of saying company mates, Reza, that sounds a bit strange to me.
I would say workmates.
Workmates. Workmates is quite informal. Maybe colleagues, work colleagues would be a little more formal. So I work with our with our company colleagues or with our workmates from Paris, London, or Hong Kong. So I looked for a way to improve my English level and I found your podcast 2 months ago. As I work in the computer department, it's possible for me to be listening to you most of the time while I'm working. So I used to listen to 3 or 4 of your podcasts daily.
Stop there. Sergio, have you stopped listening? I don't think so. I think you mean I usually listen, not used to. I usually listen.
That's a common mistake with Spanish speakers, isn't it?
Used to is for the past.
Used to is something that was true in the past, but is not true now.
We have an episode about that, don't we?
We do. I'll put the link to that episode in the show notes at inglespodcast.com/95. So I usually, this is Sergio, I usually listen to 3 or 4 of your podcasts daily. I have to say thank you. I've noticed that since I subscribed to your podcasts, I have improved my listening skills much more than I expected. Thank you, Sergio.
Oh, this is exactly what we want to hear.
This is why we're here. This is what we're doing it for. So we're pleased it's working for you, Sergio. Well, he continues, I would like to ask you about 2 things. First, I was looking for a podcast related to computers, but I couldn't find anything. Could you speak in a future podcast about computers? I mean, common phrasal verbs, vocabulary or expressions, whatever. The second question is about tag questions. I would like to know some tips or tricks to use them fluently. I try to use them, but I have to think hard about them, so I sound strange when using them. Have we spoken about tag questions?
We have, haven't we?
I think we have. We did, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so, but I can't remember the episode.
Yes, we have spoken about question tags, Sergio. If you go to episode 20... So that's inglespodcast.com/20. You'll find an episode in which Reza and I spoke quite a lot about question tags. If anything's not clear from that episode, or if you have more questions, please let us know send us an email and we'll go back and speak about question tags again. Referring to your question about podcasts connected to technology, there are two I'd like to recommend to you that I listen to and I like very much. They are for native speakers. The first is a whole network of podcasts, a podcast network. You can find it at twit.tv. That's twit.tv. And they have many different podcasts about different aspects of technology. So there's a podcast only about Google. There's a podcast about Microsoft. There's a podcast about Apple. There's a podcast about general tech news. So I'm sure whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at twit.tv. Another good one that I like is The Guardian technology podcast called Tech Weekly. So I'll put a link to both of those in the show notes. And the Guardian one can be found at theguardian.com/technology/series/tech-weekly. I'll link to that in the show notes. We did speak about technology in episode 28 and looked at some vocabulary. So that's inglespodcast/28. And I also spoke about technology on a blab with Bea Mamen Madikanmen. So again, if you go to the show notes, I will link to that blab and you can hear us speaking about technology. And usually we have blabs every Thursday at 8 p.m. If you want to practice your English for free, join us on Blab. Vocabulary from episode 28. Let's test you to see if you remember. It was a long time ago, Reza. But three common words, cortar, copiar, pegar.
Okay.
Cortar, copiar, pegar. How do you say those in English?
Cortar, cut. Copiar, copy. Pegar, paste.
And remember the pronunciation of cut, C-U-T. Ah, cut. Cut, copy, and paste. What about imprimir?
To print or print out.
The phrasal verb. Or yeah. Print off.
Yes, they all mean the same, really, don't they?
I'm going to print off 50 copies, for example. Borrar?
To delete.
To delete. D-E-L-E-T-E.
Although, when we translate borrar, when we're talking about writing by hand, what would we say?
Well, it depends if you're speaking American English or British English. In American English, to erase, E-R-A-S-E, and in British English, to rub out, the phrasal verb, R-U-B, rub, O-U-T, out, to rub out the pencil. Of course, you rub out with a rubber in British English or eraser in American English, goma, una goma.
And do not say rubber when you're in the United States.
It means condom. How do you say archivo in English?
Is it archive?
It's not usually archive, no. It's usually file, F-I-L-E.
In computer talk.
In computer terms. And
but if you went to the library looking for archivos?
Then you'd look in the archive, which also is very common on blogs. If you have old blogs or old podcasts, you'd find them in the archive section.
For example, who knows, in 20 years' time, when Aprender Inglés con Resi Craig has done hundreds of episodes, you might have to check archives to find out what happened in episode 95, for example, because we'll be on episode 800 and something. We might have to start an archive.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And inside your files, you have smaller sections called folders or carpetas in Spanish. Be careful because carpet is moqueta. Is that confusing?
Shouldn't be.
No.
Just okay. Have to learn it. Craig, how would you say in English, guardar como?
Save as.
And just guardar?
Save.
Okay. Seleccionar.
To select. Select the text.
Insertar.
Insert. When it's a verb, you stress the second syllable, insert. When it's a noun, you stress the first syllable, insert. So there's an insert.
Comprimir.
Compress.
So what about the phrase comprimir un archivo?
To compress a file.
Buscar.
That's easy. To search. Those were the words we covered in episode 28. Let's look at some new vocabulary, some other words. I'd like to look at the difference between device, gadget, and appliance. Appliance maybe is a little easier. Reza, could you give us some examples of appliances that you might find in the kitchen? Electrical appliances?
Appliances in the kitchen include cookers, fridges, freezers, microwaves, etc.
Dishwashers, yeah, washing machines. So those are your appliances. Gadgets and devices tend to be a bit smaller. So, for example, a remote control could be a device or a gadget. A calculator could be a device or a gadget. But what's the difference between a device and a gadget?
Sometimes it's hard to say, but in general, I would say a device or gadget, as well as being smaller, as you said, it's generally more up-to-date. It's more contemporary. Washing machines, dishwashers, cookers have been around for a long time. They're not new. Whereas devices and gadgets are generally newer, more modern inventions.
That's true. And also I think sometimes gadget can have a negative connotation, a negative meaning. That stupid gadget doesn't work anymore. What's the point of that ridiculous gadget? So whereas you could often use gadget and device interchangeably, if you're speaking about it in a negative way, you'd probably want gadget. It's a useless gadget. Do you remember those electric or battery carving knives that used? Did you have one in your house to carve the turkey?
Useless
gadget. They'd be sparks flying all over the place. They're dangerous. It's a stupid gadget.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't normally use device in a negative sense.
Yeah. Another thing about gadgets, it's often used to describe something which has perhaps a not particularly useful use. You're not quite sure why it was ever invented. For example, if you've ever seen an episode of Inspector Gadget.
No, I haven't.
The cartoon.
I haven't.
It's very funny. El Inspector Gadget in Spanish. He has lots of gadgets. He has a gadget for everything. And some of the things are useless. He doesn't really need to have a machine to do some of the things. That, whenever that's the case, we tend to use the word gadget to suggest that perhaps the invention is unnecessary rather than device, no?
Yeah, I agree with that. Apagar, encender, apagar, when you...
Turn on, turn off.
Yeah, turn on the computer, turn off the computer.
What if you're not quite sure what to do and you want to do something but not quite turn on or turn off? To hibernate?
Oh, to hibernate, yeah, which is often used for animals when bears go to sleep in the winter. They hibernate. So if you hibernate your device or your computer, it's like it's sleeping.
But it's not completely turned off.
Exactly.
Hibernar in Spanish? I think so, yeah?
Yeah. Notice that the phrasal verbs turn on and turn off are separable phrasal verbs, which means you can put the object in the middle of the verb and the particle. So you can turn the computer on, you can turn the TV off, and you can replace it with the pronoun it. Turn it off, or please turn it on. Descargar.
To download.
To download something from the internet. And the opposite?
To upload to internet.
To upload a file to the internet. Enchufar, desenchufar.
To plug in.
And the opposite is to plug out, isn't it?
No. You would think so, but you wouldn't.
It's not. English is not logical.
To unplug.
Unplug.
take the plug out. Unplug.
So you plug in the appliance or you plug in the device or the computer, and the opposite, you unplug it. And the thing, the enchufe, is it?
Yeah. Is the plug.
Is the plug. P-L-U-G. The plug.
Craig, what about the word network? Is it a noun or is it a verb?
Could be both. Uh-huh. When it's a noun, it's red, so network, connect to the network. Or to network with people is when you go to a conference or some kind of convention and you're meeting people, usually connected to work. And if you network with them, then you meet them, you exchange business cards, you find contacts, you have conversations, you find collaboration between people. That's networking at an event or a conference.
And of course, social media networks are very important these days.
Like Facebook.
Facebook, LinkedIn, etc.
Exactly. Now, there are different types of computers. Very popular years ago, but maybe not so popular these days, are the ones that sit on your desk, the big computers. And not strangely, they're called desktops. And the ones that are smaller and more portable that you put on your lap, which is the top of your legs, are called laptops or sometimes notebooks. What other devices are there, Reza?
Well, of course, these days many people have a tablet computer. A tablet is called that because it looks like a tablet. What is a tablet? A tablet is anything flat and usually a square or rectangular shape. So that's why we call it a tablet computer. It's completely flat.
The most common of which is the iPad.
Yes. And then, of course, if you have a smartphone, well, then you've got a mobile device.
Well, a tablet could be a mobile device also because it's so easy to take it out the house and put it in your bag and take it with you.
Yes, indeed. And then other types of mobile devices, such as the new, can't remember what it's called, but Craig will tell you in a second, watch from Google that you can put around your wrist as
a
watch.
From Apple, mean the iWatch.
Beg your pardon, Apple.
Yep. That's a wearable device because you wear it on your body, on your person. And the line really with mobile devices is blurring. It's not becoming clear because mobile phones are getting very big now and tablets are getting smaller. So what's the difference now between a mobile phone and a tablet? They're both mobile devices. Size really is not really a defining factor.
Doesn't size matter?
Size does matter, especially when you get into your 50s yeah. and you can't see the screen unless the letters are really big.
Right.
Pronunciation of WIFI. Be careful. In English, it's Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi.
A Wi-Fi connection. You connect your mobile device to the Wi-Fi.
What's it short for? Wireless fidelity.
Wireless fidelity. I didn't know that.
Wi-Fi. Okay.
I've learned something.
Won't help you use a computer, believe me, but there you go. Happen to know that. Wireless fidelity.
Disco duro.
Hard disk.
And smaller hard disks are pen drives or sometimes memory sticks or USB drives, perhaps. Mm-hmm. All of those devices give you storage space.
Like Craig, perhaps I'm a bit confused because I've spent a lot of my life living in the Spanish-speaking world. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you cannot say a pen. It's not the same. For me, a pen is un boli. It's not a pen drive. But I could be wrong about that. In English.
The term...
Give me your pen drive. Can you say in English, give me your pen? Does it work?
Oh, you mean meaning the device,
yeah.
The USB device?
Yeah.
No, I've never heard that.
Me neither. But Spanish people think it does.
Okay.
Because in Spanish they say un pen.
So that's another corruption of the language.
When a Spanish English. Person says un pen, they mean a pen drive.
A pen drive.
Okay. But in English we don't say a pen for that. We say a pen drive. If you say a pen, you're saying un boli in English, right?
Yeah.
Craig, how much storage space have you got on your computer?
Not enough. It's never enough. I think I've got 2 terabytes.
So terabytes are very big, a bit smaller, gigabytes, and smaller than that?
Megabytes.
Do you still need to format things these days?
Yeah, sometimes I format the memory in my video camera or anything on a memory card. So, for example, we're recording this podcast into a portable audio recorder, which has a memory card in it. Tarjeta de memoria, memory card. So I will occasionally format the memory cards in the audio device or in the video camera, which completely cleans them and prepares them for more audio.
Craig, how might you discover that your computer has a virus?
Hopefully, my virus protector will tell me, especially if it's scanning the computer. So again, a word beginning with S, don't put an E before it. It's just scan. So my software does a virus scan, and if there's a problem, the virus software will tell me.
Craig, we wouldn't want to lose the material that we record onto the computer for our podcast. So it's good to make a copy. How can you express that?
To back up your data, or to back up your files, or to make a backup, or make a backup copy. So it can be a noun or a phrasal verb. To back up or to make a backup. Do you back up your files?
From time to time.
How do you do it?
Using an external disk drive.
Right, me too. But I also back up to the cloud.
Not me, but yeah, a lot of people do.
Just because if there's a fire in the flat, if there's a burglary and the hard disks get stolen with the computer, I'll have backups of these podcasts in the cloud.
You said if there was a fire burns things, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what I mean if I say to burn onto a disk. What does that mean?
Oh, let me try and remember. That would be just after we...
The dinosaurs.
Yeah, well, just after we stopped recording on cassette tapes, I think we burned information onto a disc.
Would you say nobody does that anymore?
Very unusual. In fact, you've probably noticed that computers these days don't have a CD drive or a DVD drive. Yeah. It's very unusual. These days, a lot of software comes directly from the internet.
There is one important exception that I can think of. Very relevant to both of us.
The Mansion Inglés CDs?
Yes.
That we still sell, by the way. Go to mansioninglés.com.
Exactly.
And you can buy CDs and we send them to you through the post. However, you can also download these courses directly to your device or computer from mansioninglés.com. And they're cheaper.
So the world of teaching languages still relies on discs, actually. I use books in my classes at the British Council. Not my choice, it's the British Council's choice. It's a wise choice. The students buy books with CDs and DVDs. Now, maybe they could make them downloadable, but don't you suspect that piracy would become rampant? That's why publishing companies prefer to keep it on the old technology. They prefer to keep it on the disc. Much harder to spread pirate copies around.
Well, I'm not sure if I'd agree with that. If you look at a company like Adobe that makes Photoshop and many other products, they used to have CDs to download their software, which were pirated quite a lot. And now they have an installment model where you pay every month to use their products and then you can have access to them through the cloud, which makes it more difficult to pirate because there's no actual software that's being installed into your computer. You're accessing the software through the cloud.
Okay.
Do you use CDs pretty much every lesson with your lower level students?
No, I virtually never use CDs because they've been put on the hard disk in the British Council. But okay. It's for the students to practice at home. They have the CDs. Yeah.
How do you say navigador in English?
Is it browser?
Yep, B-R-O-W-S-E-R. What's your favourite browser? Are you a Internet Explorer, Firefox, Chrome?
The only two I ever seem to use are Internet Explorer and Chrome.
Any preference?
Some people might be surprised to hear Internet Explorer, because I get the feeling it's merely a theory. I have no proof about this, but using Google Chrome, Google aren't going to like this. Using Google Chrome, I reckon you get bothered more with unwanted publicity than Internet Explorer. Might I have a point?
I don't remember the last time I used Internet Explorer. I know it's got a lot better than it used to be. Mm-hmm. And I think from what I hear, it's pretty good. But I almost exclusively use Chrome on the desktop, on the laptop, and Apple's browser Safari on a mobile device.
I would use Safari if I had an Apple device, yeah. But as I say, I have a theory that with Chrome, you get bothered a lot more with unwanted publicity than with Internet Explorer. Have you heard that, or is it just my theory?
I haven't heard that, but it could be true. But you have no problem accessing your email, which is Gmail, through Internet Explorer. No problem at all.
No problem.
Okay.
But in some computers, I must admit that Chrome seems to work better for mm-hmm. certain things, particularly more modern websites.
Any other words that are interesting before we move on to a bit of discussion about technology in general?
Yeah, to reboot, people might not know.
Reboot. When would you reboot your computer? R-E-B-O-O-T.
It means restart.
Yeah. So maybe if you install software, you could be asked to reboot your computer. If you're having problems, it sometimes helps to reboot your computer.
What's a hyperlink?
Hyperlink is a text link that takes you to another place. It could take you to an internet website. It could take you to another place in a PDF document, for example. So you click on it. It's text that you click on, which takes you somewhere else. I think that's the definition.
What's to take a screenshot? What's a screenshot?
A screenshot is where you take a photograph of what you can see on your computer screen. So, for example, if I'm looking at our wonderful statistics for inglespodcast.com, for Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig, and I want to say, hey, Reza, we've really had a lot of listeners to this episode. I could take a screenshot of a still image of maybe iTunes and send it to you.
What's a zip file?
Well, we spoke earlier on about compressing files. So a zip would be a format of compressing files so that it takes up less space. It occupies less space, which is useful if you're sending an email attachment of an audio file or maybe photographs that take up a lot of space. You could make it smaller and send it easier by email.
What do the initials CPU mean?
Absolutely no idea. I know what it is, but I don't know what it stands for.
I don't know what it is, but I know what it stands for. The opposite.
Okay, so let's share our knowledge. The CPU is inside the computer.
Yeah.
And I think it's more the main thing that drives the computer.
Yeah, I would imagine. I'm guessing.
What does it mean?
Since it's called the central processing unit.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's the central...
Between the two of us, we got there.
So it's the big part of your computer.
Yeah, the big bit.
The big bit.
That would be my technical... big important bit.
I don't want to blind you with science, listeners, but it's the big bit in your computer. That's what CPU is. I'm sure Sergio is laughing at these these definitions.
Ooh, what about caps lock?
Caps, capitals. Mm-hmm. So lock, cerrar. So you want to write in capitals and you lock it so that when you're using the keyboard, all of your letters and words are in capital letters.
Until you turn off the caps lock.
Until you turn off the caps lock.
What if you've made a mistake? What might be a useful function on the computer?
Well, you could undo. Most software has undo on it now. So U-N-D-O takes you back one step and you can correct your mistake with undo.
What if you thought you'd made a mistake, so you clicked the undo icon. And then you thought, oh no, actually, it wasn't a mistake. It was good. I think I want it back again. What can you do?
In other words, you want to go forward, not backwards.
Yeah.
Then you look for redo. R-E-D-O. Reza and I would like to take a moment to thank our wonderful sponsor, iTalki. iTalki is a website where you can find a teacher to help you improve your English quickly, cheaply, and effectively. How does your English improve? Because you're learning one-to-one with a teacher that you choose and at a time that is convenient, or sea cómodo, for you. I asked Ivan, who works in iTalki's offices in Shanghai, China, what's the best thing about his job?
Hey everyone, this is Ivan and I work at iTalki. I'm originally from Russia, but I grew up in the United States before moving out to Shanghai and joining iTalki. The best thing about my job must be that the ability to affect other people's lives with language education, with education in general, and also the people that I work with. They're great to work with, and there's just so many interesting cultures and languages represented in our offices that I'm always learning more about the world.
iTalki, affecting lives through language and culture. Why not try a personalized one-to-one test lesson with an experienced English teacher? iTalki are giving 100 iTalki credits, which is about one lesson, to each paying student that registers with them. To learn more about iTalki and this special offer, go to inglespodcast.com/iTalki. And Reza and I would like to say thank you to iTalki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Greg. Reza, what's your favourite piece of technology? Do you have one?
No. But what do I think is very useful? But I could answer that. I'm sorry to change the question. I'm not a very techie kind of person, so I've no favourite piece of technology. But I guess I find my smartphone very handy. The fact that it has very useful applications on it, such as you can have Google Maps now on your smartphone and things like that, which literally stop you getting lost. So,
would you say your smartphone is more useful to you than your computer?
No, but I believe it would be more useful in an emergency or in an extreme situation. But for day-to-day life, I think a computer is more useful. What do you think?
I agree. I think the smartphone is incredibly useful. But I think my favorite piece of technology are all these little microphones and audio recorders and the stuff we use for the podcasting. I love this stuff. And I spend hours looking at reviews on the internet and YouTube videos, learning about different ways to improve the sound and different ways of recording audio, either at home in a fixed place or mobile. Like, for example, when we record in the British Council, it's a different setup, different set of audio devices. So I spend a lot of time researching and looking at that kind of stuff, which is kind of hobby. It's like a hobby of mine.
And is there anything, any device you're saving up for in particular?
Well, there are loads of things I'd love to buy, but anything in particular, I don't think so, no. But no, there's nothing special that I'm saving up for at the moment. What about you?
No, not really. No, as I say, for me, it's not that important to be to keep up to date. To keep up to date, actualizarse. It's not that important. So, as we all know, high-tech equipment, particularly electronic equipment, quickly goes out of date these days. I'm prepared to just wait until I really, really need something and then buy it. I don't like the idea of buying one model and in a couple of years it seems old-fashioned and I would have to buy a new one. I only buy something when I really, really have to and get the latest. I'll get a good one, but only when I have to.
Why do you think it's so important for people to have the latest gadget or device the latest smartphone, the latest TV.
I can understand why people would. For me, it's not, but I understand that people want to get the best out of their equipment. I mean, we record this podcast, we use good microphones. Craig has a good mixing desk that he knows how to use well. He gets the best out of the equipment. It's very important. Obviously, you get what you pay for.
Do you think there's some kind of social pressure among people to have the latest phone or the latest device?
Yeah.
Do you think advertising has an effect?
Oh, yeah, yeah. See, that's the bit that really doesn't interest me, the peer pressure, you know, the social pressure to get the latest. I can understand people wanting good equipment just because they want good equipment, yeah, but I don't need the latest iPhone just because it's the latest iPhone. I would want it because it's a good piece of equipment. You know,
and this happens a lot with younger children, doesn't it? With teens, with 13, 14 year olds, they need to have the same or better phone than their friends have. There's this peer pressure to keep up with their friends, what their friends have. How old do you think a child should be when they get their first mobile phone?
Smartphone?
Yes.
Because I say that because, believe it or not, some of the listeners are going to wet themselves.
What does that mean?
They're going to go to the toilet out of laughter. I have a smartphone. I've got it in my pocket right now. Turned off. Don't worry. You're not going to hear it. But I have a mobile phone, which is not a smartphone. You heard me right. I have a mobile phone which doesn't have an internet connection.
But the phone you use is a smartphone.
I've got two phones. I've got a phone that I use when I go abroad, which it doesn't have an internet connection up because I don't want it to have an internet connection. That way, I can't possibly be charged for it because it doesn't have it. It's a pay-as-you-go phone. I have a pay-as-you-go.
Pay-as-you-go. How do you say that in Spanish? Pay-as-you-go.
Prepago.
Prepago.
I have a pay-as-you-go mobile with no internet connection. In fact, it doesn't even have a camera. but I bring my smartphone with me, and where I can get free, gratis Wi-Fi, I use it. But there's no way I'm prepared to pay for roaming. I admit it. I'm tight. Soy rácano. I'm not going to pay for internet roaming. I don't need it that much. What do you think, Craig?
Well, the question was, how old do I think a child should be when they get their first phone? I'd say when they start to go out by themselves, when their parents aren't with them, when they might need to phone to get a lift, or if they have a problem, or if they go out with their friends and something happens. So how old is that? I don't know, 13, 14?
I'd say about 14 myself, yeah.
But I'm not one of those people that think you have to protect children from technology. I think it's important that they, as early as possible, learn to use a tablet, learn to use a computer, because that's the way of the future. You don't want to disadvantage your child. And I think children playing games might seem like a waste of time, but if they're intellectual games, if they're games like Minecraft or games where you have to think and plan and solve problems, problem solving, then I think they're very useful.
What about things like PlayStations?
Well, to a, obviously not too long on a PlayStation, but PlayStation is very good for reaction. It's very good for controlling, very good for teaching children about design. But if it's overused, then that could be a problem.
Have you ever used a Wii?
I have, once or twice. It's quite fun.
I've never used one.
Yeah, they're good fun. And good exercise too, because you're jumping around in front of the screen.
Yeah, much better than no exercise. But I think an able-bodied kid should get out and do proper exercise if they can, and not rely on a Wii.
It's all about the balance. It's the balance, isn't it, between technology and actually being with people. Why do you think some people dislike technology?
Well, I would count myself as sometimes in that group. I don't always dislike technology, but there are moments when it bothers me. For example, you probably guess what I'm going to say. Imagine I'm out with a group of friends. We planned in advance to have a nice meal at a good restaurant, an expensive restaurant. It was hard to get a table there. We're all having a good time. The conversation is great. And what happens in a group of six people, two or three start looking at their mobile phones. Why can't they just enjoy the moment? At times like that, technology bothers me. I often wish that the smartphone had never been invented, for example, on those occasions. What do you think?
I agree, but I think it's a changing world. And I think although we should be careful of not losing the way we relate to people on a human level, I think we kind of have to accept now that these things are part of our lives. What is extreme, in my opinion, is when you see a group of young people sitting at a table and they're not speaking to each other, they're texting each other, even though they're sitting at the same table. That, to me, is a bit extreme.
My nieces that I mentioned in the last episode...
Your nice nieces.
My nice nieces, they're very nice, but they do exactly that. I know because I've been in the room and I've seen them like laughing, thinking, oh, they're getting funny text messages. I thought that's normal. And then I work out that they're from each other. And they're like, oh, why did you send me that? I was like, hold on. I kind of interrupt and say, are you laughing because she just sent you a funny message? Like, yes. Like, she's 2 meters away. Why didn't you just speak to her? I don't get that.
But then I think when I was young, my parents would say the same thing when I was on the phone all the time to my friends. And they said, you're on the phone too long. Why are you on the phone? I think the mobile and Snapchat has replaced being on the telephone when we were kids. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's any change in the way we interact with our friends. It's just the technology that's changed.
Would you say, and this is just a question, I'm not giving the answer, would you say that a greater reliance on technology these days has affected the social skills of young people, I'm asking?
It's affected them, definitely. It's changed them, definitely. Whether that's for the better or for the worse, I really don't know.
Could it be a mixture? Could it be both?
It could be both. I mean, I've seen teenagers, 13, 14-year-olds on their mobile phones with an application like Snapchat going through messages that have been sent and looking at 40 or 50 different messages in a minute, which seems to me to be an incredibly skillful thing to do. That processing of data so quickly is really, really impressive. And I could never do that. The question is, am I being old-fashioned thinking that it's a negative thing? I don't know. I'm not sure.
I totally agree with you, and I couldn't do it either, and it's an important and useful skill, and I envy them. What about young people's power of deep philosophical contemplation? Is it as good as it was 50 years ago?
I'd ask you, does it need to be?
First answer my question, then I'll answer yours. Is it as good as it used to be?
Attention span.
For example, you mentioned
attention
it, not me.
Spans are reducing. So obviously people are having problems concentrating on one thing for a long period of time. But that's the way the world's changing. Yeah. It's not the same world as it used to be.
I agree. So I'll answer your question. No, it doesn't need to be.
Okay.
It doesn't need to be, but it's not.
But it's not. No, I agree. It's
because
not.
Because it doesn't need to be.
It's not.
Yeah. And before, I mean, I'm not suggesting that we should go back to this. I'm not. This is not what I want to do. But before, if you wanted to get useful information about certain things back in the past, not that long ago, what did you have to do? You had to physically go to a library, for example, research, get many different books, journals, sources, go through them, find the useful bits, the not so useful bits, decide. It was hard work, and it wasted malgastar a lot of your time. And it's good that you don't have to do that now, but it did train you to think deeply and contemplate and learn to identify better good and bad sources. Perhaps that those skills are being lost a little bit.
I don't think they're being lost. They're being focused on the internet now. So when you search for something on Google, you still have to be able to know if it's a good source, a reliable, trustworthy, fiable kind of source, or whether it's a source or a blog that can't be trusted. So you're still filtering information. You're just doing it in a different way, and you're still thinking about it. But it's digital information. It's not on paper. But this, on the same point or similar point, you needed to remember things in the past. You needed to, I remember learning poetry at school. I remember having to remember phone numbers. These days you don't. You just need to know how to access them and know where to find them. So we need different skills these days.
Do you think on the whole technology makes a better world?
I don't know.
Me neither.
I think we'll leave that open to our audience. Tell us what you think. Please send us a voice message to inglespodcast.com/speakpipe and tell us what you think. Has technology created a better world, and how do you see it evolving or developing in the future in areas such as education, health, communication, the military, travel? What will these areas look like 50 years from now? And we'd also like to hear if you have a story for us for our 100th episode. How has English helped you? So send us a message, a voice message, because of my podcast, I fill in the blank, complete the sentence. And if you prefer to send us an email, you can reach us at Craig, that's me, Craig at inglespodcast.com.
Or you could send me an email at belfastreza@gmail.com.
Thank you very much for listening. And until next week, when we'll be speaking about nature and the environment, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye. The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.